Hello, this is Pastor Jerry from the Carlisle Church of the Brethren, sharing the message for Sunday, June the 7th, entitled, Angel of Light. It's been 2 weeks now since 46-year-old George Floyd died on the streets of Powderhorn, a neighborhood just south of Minneapolis, Minnesota. What happened that day was tragic. And what happened since May 25th has also been tragic. Many protesting marches have turned violent in dozens of cities nationwide. Buildings have been burned and businesses have been looted and destroyed, and additional lives have been lost. Some have compared this eruption of violence as an outbreak of civil war in our own country. Spiritual warfare, on the other hand, is also very real. To be a Christian is to be at war against the devil daily, hourly. If you're a Christian, you have a target on your back, on your mind, on your heart. If Satan had the nerve to wage war against the Son of God, he certainly looks at you and me as if we're easy game. We're easy prey, and he has a plan to make us fall. If we don't know what his game plan is to win this war, we won't even recognize when we actually are waving the white flag of surrender, and we won't even recognize or realize when we've actually enlisted in his army. Scripture warns us about Satan being on the loose in the end times. And between the political battles and economic unrest, pandemic fears, and now social and racial unrest, there's no question that Satan and his legion of armies is on the loose in 2020. And so I've been led to study the crafty wiles of Satan. After all, if we're naive about him, we're even more susceptible to his wily ways. So for at least the month of June, I'd like to study this enemy of ours, Satan. When you're a follower of Jesus Christ, your enemy is not the police, it's not the president, it's not another ethnicity, it's not the state or federal government, it's not communism, it's not the other political party. It will always be Satan. So let's get started. Excuse me. What is your name? Your name. Do you know what your first and last names even mean? Or what name did your mother call you when she really wanted your attention? What nicknames did you acquire as you went through life? With a name like Underkoffler, you can probably imagine the creativity that my students had when they gave me names behind my back when I was working at Big Spring School District. But this sermon is not about me. Let's take a look, a close look at Satan's names. What I'd like to do now is a stretch of my technological abilities, probably. I'd like to share a chart with you. I'd like to display a chart with you to show the names of Satan that we will find in our Bible. So, let me do that, and then I'll come back to you and talk further about the names. Okay, here we go. You'll see that there are three columns. There's a column for the name, and then the middle column is the meaning, and then the third column is scripture. I hope to actually post this chart to the comment section underneath the link to today's sermon, so that if you'd like to go back and take a look at the scriptures or like to look at the chart again, you may do so. But we're going to fly over these names. They're listed, the first column in alphabetical order. Most of them are in alphabetical order. And we'll be pausing a couple times, but I'm going to go through the name and the meaning. First of all, he's called the accuser because he opposes believers when they are being judged by God. He's a blamer. He's called the adversary because, of course, he's against God. He's called the ancient serpent because he's a deceiver in the Garden of Eden. He's called Apollyon, which is a Greek name for destroyer. He's called the Beast because he's a violent and inhumane creature. I'm missing an E there on inhumane. He's called Beelzebub because that means Lord of the Fly. And we know flies come after there's dead corpse that maggots infest. He's called Belial, meaning worthless. He's called Deceiver because he confuses and he misleads. He's called the Devil, of course. He's a slanderer. He's called a dragon because he's destructive. He's called the Enemy because he's our opponent. He's called the Evil One because he's intrinsically evil. He has no good qualities. He's called the Father of Lies because he perverts the truth. He's called the God of this world because he is influencing the thinking of this world. He's called the Lawless One because he follows the discipline of no one. And he's called Leviathan, which is a name for a sea monster in Isaiah. And then I have this one bold-faced and highlighted because it's today's scripture, one of today's scripture. He's called Lucifer. Lucifer meaning light bringer and morning star. So let's turn to our first scripture. Our first scripture in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. Let me read that scripture for today. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So, these verses in Isaiah give us actually the history of Satan and his falling from heaven. First of all, in verse 12, he gives the meaning of Lucifer. Lucifer actually is a reminder because it means star, morning star. It means that he's the... And so we have today's scripture, the first one in Isaiah chapter 14, which actually shares hints of his history of falling from heaven. Verse 12 gives us the meaning of his name, Lucifer. It's a reminder to me that he's quite active during the day, starting first thing in the morning. In fact, he's called Son of the Morning, and the name Lucifer literally means day star. He's active when we're active. He's active when we're awake. Verse 12 then also refers to his exile from heaven, when it says, how you are cut down to the ground. Scripture doesn't give us a timeline when Satan was actually cast out of heaven. It does reveal, though, that it was probably sometime before creation. Scriptures in Isaiah 14, Luke chapter 10, 2 Peter 2, Jude, and Revelation, one can conclude that he was an angel, perhaps an angel given an important, responsible position in heaven, that he fell from God's favor. And here in Isaiah 14, we can most likely conclude that pride led to his fall from heaven, pride over his beauty and power. And then he became rebellious against God. As he says in verse 14, Isaiah quotes Satan by saying, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Revelation 12 reveals that he fights against the angel Michael and loses. That chapter in Revelation also documents that Satan took about one-third of the angels with him when he fell from heaven. Jesus graphically describes Satan's fall also in Luke chapter 10 when he tells his disciples, quote, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. There's no question what Satan's goal is, and that is to destroy any and all good that God has created and to oppose the work of God in the lives of his followers. Satan's goal is to break the will and nullify the testimony of every believer in whatever way he can do that. If he had the audacity, again, to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, he certainly believes that he can break us of our faith. And so we've got targets painted on our hearts and our minds. Now, those of that have succumbed already to be his followers, he's confident, I'm sure, that they're going to be joining him in the lake of fire. But those of us who are professing Jesus as our Lord, he's never going to stop attacking. And he will not let up until he has us securely in his camp. Okay, let's go back to that chart, if I can connect us, and go with the next. Okay, here we are again with the chart. And we go with the first word under Lucifer, and that is murderer. Why? Because he leads people not just to physical death, but eternal death. He's called the power of darkness, and he's powerless in the light. He's called the prince of demons, as he's the leader of the fallen angels. He's called the prince of the power of the air on this earth, because he has control of unbelievers. He's called the roaring lion, because he's the one who destroys. He's called the ruler of demons, rules those who actually possess others. He's called the ruler of this world because he rules in world systems and governments. He's called Satan, of course, because he's the adversary. He's called the serpent because he's the snake, the lowest reptile on earth. He's called the son of perdition because he's the son of eternal punishment, the son of hell, if you would like to so call and describe him. He's called the tempter, of course, because he solicits, he tempts, he leads people to sin. He's called the thief because he takes what he doesn't own. He's called the wicked one because he's filled with evil. He is without virtue and truth. And then out of alphabetical order, he's called the angel of light. And that takes us to our second scripture for today, from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where he is described by Paul to be disguised to appear like an angel of light. Let's read the verses from 12 to 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, I need to preface this. Paul is actually criticizing ministers of the churches in Corinth, as they are in it not to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but in it for self-profit and self-glorification. So that's where he's coming from when he first starts talking here. Verse 12, what I do, this is Paul talking, what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Let me read that verse again, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. In verse 15, then basically Paul says, but they're all going to end up being punished for the works, for their misdeeds, for their misleading. And so Paul, in this scripture, is warning us and condemning ministers who are in the ministry for one reason, and that's to promote themselves, promoting a different gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul calls them deceitful workers, making themselves look like ministers, but are merely wearing a disguise to look like they're apostles of Christ. but that they are really ministers of Satan, also appearing as ministers of righteousness, or like Satan himself, minister of light. Paul says that Satan's disguise is actually as an angel of light. He appears to be virtuous and good, but he's actually taking and faking noble and honorable qualities so that no one in their right mind would ever reject him, heaven forbid. Just as the Holy Spirit is capable to dwell in the hearts and minds of Jesus' followers, Satan, with his angelic disguise, subtly misleads people to believe in him. Scripture says that he convinced a third of the angels to follow him when he was cast out of heaven. His demons, those same angels, also disguised as angels of light, can and will inhabit people. Scripture documents that and even reveals that he or his demons can inhabit animals, as we saw evidence, of course, in Genesis when he appeared as a snake to Adam and Eve, and then in Mark 5 when his demons filled a herd of pigs that ran off a cliff and then drowned. And so let me just ask you, what do you think? Is Satan real, or is he just the antithesis of evil? Is he just a metaphor that symbolizes wrong choices and wicked behavior? Is Satan a real being, or is he merely a literary device to describe evil? To answer that question, I could give you scripture where he's not merely given a name, but scripture where there's a conversation going on between God and Satan over Job chapter 1, or in Matthew chapter 4, where there's another conversation that's documented between Satan and Jesus in the wilderness. But instead of using scripture to prove the accuracy of other scripture, I'm sure you and I can actually recall circumstances in our life when we actually experienced Satan interfering in our life, where he detoured us, where he tempted us, where he attacked us, which resulted in us making some pretty horrible decisions when we succumbed to that temptation. I'm reminded of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul warns us that most of what Satan does, it is invisible to our naked eyes. This is what he says. It's in, again, it's Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul warns us here that there's a battle going on behind the scenes, and we don't even see it happening. It's a struggle between the forces of darkness and the forces of God. Between the forces of evil and the forces of good, a struggle, a battle for our hearts, our minds, our faith. Scripture verifies it for me, but there have been many times in my life where the results of that behind-the-scenes battle have actually become evident. Let me just share one example that happened in my life just months before I was to be ordained in the ministry. Just months before I was to have married Donna, I was split seconds and mere inches away from a horrific accident on Route 81 that would have clearly ended my life on this earth and would have removed any possibility of future marriage with my God-fearing wife and any future ministry on this planet. Yes, there is indeed a battle out there for us and our souls, and I would humbly pray that our Holy Spirit would continue to open our eyes, revealing the protection that he provides as we travel on this road of faith in our earthly lives. Looking ahead to next Sunday, we're going to be studying scripture to see what it says about our enemy so that we can be better prepared to be that soldier that God needs us, wants us to be. Good coaches in all levels of athletic competition closely study who they will be playing against. They study film. They send scouts. They want to learn what are the weaknesses, what are the strengths of this enemy that they will be playing against. And that's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like to learn more about this enemy that we are facing day in and day out. So next week, we'll be taking a look at the strengths that Satan has. I hope you'll be able to join us again in worship next week. Would you join me in prayer as we close today's message? Let's pray. Lord God, we bow the knee of submission to your strength, to your protection, to your wisdom and power when we are in this battle with the unseen enemy. Lord, stay by our side. Continue to hold our hand. Be our shield and defender. Forgive us, Father, for being willfully ignorant of our enemy. Share your Holy Spirit as you have promised, providing your eyesight, your wisdom, as we dig into your holy word in the weeks to come. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer, filling us with your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Have a healthy and peaceful week, my brothers and sisters.